Well, this morning marks a first for me, sharing the Word of God via live stream, but also sharing the Word of God with nobody else in the room with me. I miss being together with you. I miss being able to see your smile, see you interact during our time in the Word of God. And so just feel free to interact through this message using the comments or the emojis that are available for you. Things have certainly been drastically changing each and every day since December 31st, when this announcement of this coronavirus outbreak had happened. And prior to that date, many Americans were living the dream. Life was good. You know, the American dream was in full swing. Our economy was strong. Interest rates were dropping. People were able to take advantage of that. Some were able to refinance their homes, put some extra money in their pockets so that they could work on those dream home improvements. But all those plans began to swiftly change when we learned of the first related death to the coronavirus in the United States. And we have all heard our government having to take swift action and make some hard decisions that have crimped our lifestyle. And it's all in an effort for public safety to reduce the spread of this virus. And now all of a sudden we are living in the midst of people and working with people who are not so happy anymore. They're not living the dream anymore. In fact, they find themselves afraid. They find themselves very annoyed, anxious, depressed, some people, frustrated, stressed, worried. And I realize that you might find yourself feeling like that right now as you're listening. And maybe you're wondering, why all of a sudden are you feeling this way? And I obviously don't know your specific situation. I certainly don't know your heart condition. But what I do know is what the Word of God says. And God says to us in His Word that Jesus offers to us an abundant life. He offers this abundant life to all who believe in Him, to all who follow Him. And the abundant life that Christ promises to those who believe, it has nothing to do with the dream home, nothing to do with getting a newer car or being able to go on a nice vacation or pad a retirement account or get more money. It has nothing to do with that. This abundant life that Jesus offers, it has everything to do with having a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with living forever in the presence of God in paradise for all eternity. And this morning, I want to continue our Easter celebration series entitled Doors That Lead to God's Love and Mercy. And some of you haven't been able to be with us as a church family and go through this series. So I just want to give you a little review on what we have looked at so far. We started out looking at the door of the ark in Genesis chapter 6 through 8. And we saw in God's word in that text that God provided the way for righteous Noah and his family to be saved from that global flood. Then we looked at the Passover door in Exodus chapter 11 and 12. And we noticed in that text that God provided the way for his people, Israel, to be saved from the 10th plague, that final plague upon the Egyptians. And we specifically pointed out that God's way of salvation, it required an acceptable blood sacrifice. And it had to be received through faith. And everyone who trusted in the Lord, everyone who obeyed His word, they applied that blood to their doorposts, to the lintel of their homes. Every single one of God's people that did that, they were delivered from slavery. They were delivered from death. Last week, we were able to be together and we looked at the door to the inner sanctuary in 1 Kings 6. And we were reminded in Hebrews chapter 10 that the blood that the priests offered behind those doors in the temple on the Day of Atonement, that blood from those animal sacrifices, that could not completely take away sins. But we were encouraged that the blood that Christ shed on the cross, it completely cleanses us. Completely cleanses all believers once for all. And we rejoice in that. And so I want to continue our theme. And I invite you to open your Bible to John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10, and we're going to be specifically looking at verses 7 through 10, where Jesus teaches us about the door of the sheep. And how this particular door that he teaches us about is the door to abundant life. And to help you understand this text, let me give you some context. The Bible tells us that the crowds of Jewish people that Christ ministered to on this earth when he lived here, they were described as people who were like sheep without a shepherd. And you can take some time and go back and read John 9 afterwards here, and especially see how that plays out. In John chapter 9, Jesus healed a blind man. And this blind man was soon cast out of the synagogue by the Pharisees. And these Pharisees were supposed to be the so-called shepherds of God's people, but they cast this man out of the synagogue. And you may wonder, why? Well, the reason was, is because this blind man who now can see, he gave glory to God. He attributed his new sight to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And they wanted to hear nothing of that. So these shepherds, they cast him out of the synagogue. And so Jesus had something to say to these crooked and corrupt shepherds. And that's what we begin to see in John chapter 10. So please follow along as I read verses 1 and 2. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, in verse 1, Christ mentions the sheepfold. And during this time, physically speaking, Jewish shepherds made a rock wall enclosure of loosely stacked stones, and they would top it with briars in order to keep out those who wanted to destroy their sheep. After a day of grazing in the field, shepherd, they would lead their sheep to this fold for protection, and they would all go through this one opening. There was only one opening. And the shepherd would then lie across that opening, and he would then serve as the door of the sheep. The predators, such as thieves and robbers, as well as wolves, other animals, they were particularly active at night. But the only way into that sheepfold was through the one door. And the good shepherd was that door, and the good shepherd would not let anyone or anything get past him to harm his sheep. So when Jesus is speaking about this sheepfold in verse 1, he is referring spiritually to whatever temporarily holds the sheep that belong to him. Now I want us to skip ahead to verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly," in other words, perk up, pay attention to what I say to you. "I am the door of the sheep." And as you look at that verse again, loved ones, that is an amazing proclamation. Jesus is the only person who can make such a claim. And just look at that verse again, specifically the end of the verse. Look at that claim. Focus in on what he precisely said. He said, I am the door. He didn't say that he is a door to God. He said he is the door, the only door. Meaning, first of all, Jesus provides salvation for his sheep. I am the door of the sheep. Four chapters later, he made a similar claim. You might have this verse memorized. John 14:6, he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John chapter 10, verse 7, John chapter 14, verse 6, both claims that only Jesus can make, he states that he is the only way of salvation. He is the only door to abundant life. He's the only access to God the Father. And that's good news. Very good news for each of us, because the Bible does tell us that you and me, every single one of us, we're sinners. We were born this way. We're guilty of thinking things, saying things, doing things that do not please the Lord. And our sin, it separates us from a holy God. And there is nothing that we can do in our own ability or our own strength to make that relationship with God right. And yes, that's sad news, but the good news is that God provided the way for us to be saved. Be saved from death. And that way is by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus, my friends, provides salvation for his sheep. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us there is salvation and no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus goes on to say in verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now, we know when Jesus is speaking here that he's not referring to prophets of old that were before him. Prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Jonah, Micah, John the Baptist even. He's not referring to them as thieves and robbers. Who he's specifically referring to here in verse 8 is the Pharisees. These false shepherds of Israel were preying on his sheep. They were using his sheep for their own selfish feasts. They were not caring for his flock. And Jesus points out at the end of verse 8 that the sheep did not listen to them. And he explains why. In verses 3, 4, and 5, he says, to him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Christ taught here that his true sheep would never hear, let alone follow, a false shepherd. But instead they would persevere, and they would do so by hearing and following the true shepherd, Jesus Christ himself. And he promises at the end of John chapter 10 that he will keep all those who truly belong to him. I love these verses. I draw your attention to verses 27 and 28 where Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I don't know about you, but I take great comfort, especially today in those verses, just knowing that our Lord knows his sheep. He knows each of us in a close and personal way, and just be amazed that he knows us more fully than anyone else knows us. He knows us so intimately and so deeply, and he still chooses to love us and give us life. That is great comfort, and I hope you're encouraged by that. As we go back to John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, "I am the door." In essence, he's saying, if anyone else claims to be the way of salvation, he calls them thieves and robbers. And here he is specifically referring to the Pharisees, likening them to the false shepherds of Israel that Ezekiel prophesied about. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we're told that there would be a day where false shepherds would be feeding themselves and not providing and caring for the sheep. And this would result in the sheep being scattered all over the face of the earth because there was no shepherd for them. And they were under extreme danger in that condition without a shepherd. And then we're told that God promises to search and to seek and to rescue his sheep. And he promises to bring them back to their own land and to feed them with good pasture. And he promises to be their shepherd in that text and to take care of the sheep. And listen to who God mentions in that text to be that one shepherd that would provide salvation for his sheep. Ezekiel said in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 34, God says, "I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken." Now, throughout the Bible, there are many well-known shepherds. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they were all shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. And obviously, you just heard in Ezekiel 34 and other places in Scripture, David was a shepherd. But he can't be the one shepherd. And the reason I say that is because David had died 400 years before Ezekiel wrote this. So who do you think Ezekiel was prophesying about? You guessed it, the most well-known shepherd in the Scriptures, the Lord himself. And probably one of the most favorite texts of all Scripture for many, many people is Psalm 23, which tells us the Lord is our shepherd. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. Psalmist says in Psalm 95, verse 7, that he is our God. We're the people of his pasture. We're the sheep of his hand. And so Ezekiel in chapter 34 was prophesying about the Messiah, that he would be that one shepherd who would gather all his sheep and lead them into glory one day. And we can't wait for that day. Amen? He declared here in verse 9 to these Pharisees and to all those who were listening in John chapter 10 that he is that one shepherd. And notice what he went on to say in verse 9. He says, "If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." And obviously, Jesus is speaking here about spiritual salvation, which is a continual theme that's running throughout Scripture, especially what the Apostle John was writing about in this book. Draw your attention to maybe a particular verse that just shares how often this idea of spiritual salvation was communicated throughout this book. John 3:17, Jesus was teaching Nicodemus, and he said, "God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And I don't know if you like the mark in your Bibles or not, but if you do, I really encourage you to underline or circle or highlight or do whatever. Do them all. Do whatever to make that word "saved" in verse 9 pop off that page of Scripture, because that word speaks, my friends, to our greatest need. When I read that word saved, it causes me to think back to my lifeguarding days. I was a lifeguard for 7 years. And it reminds me of some of those times where swimmers were under my watch and they were roughhousing and, you know, being a little risky. And they were telling me they were just fine and they didn't need me and they were just having fun and I was being a bother to them and they were getting annoyed with my whistle and my warnings. And as you're listening to this, you can imagine it wasn't long before these swimmers ended up in a place in the pool where they could no longer touch the bottom. And they weren't able to swim. And they were crying out and panicking and screaming to me as the lifeguard to jump in and to rescue them. And that's exactly what I was able to do. And when Jesus says here in verse 9, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He was saying, you will be rescued. You'll be rescued from thieves, from robbers, from wolves, from Satan himself. In other words, you will be rescued from death. That's what he's communicating here. And you see, friends, that's good news because the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, 1, verse 3 as well that you and I were dead in the trespasses and sins. We're by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, and as sinners we are under God's judgment, which is death, eternal separation from God. And there's nothing that you or I can do in our own abilities and strength to save ourselves from dying. We need rescued from death. And it's in this helpless condition where Jesus came to save the hopelessly lost. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 24 and 25 tell us that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like, listen to this, sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You see, friends, the Bible tells us that God promises to save. He promises to rescue anyone who cries out to him in repentance and faith. So be encouraged, be strengthened, knowing that there is not one thief, there's not one robber, there's not one demon, not even Satan himself will be able to snatch us out of the Father's hand, the Lord's hand. Jesus provides salvation for his sheep. Secondly, Jesus provides security for his sheep. Verse 9, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That phrase, in and out, it refers to life that's absolutely secure, absolutely safe. And please do not take verse 9 the wrong way, friends. Jesus is not giving false hope. He's not saying that if you enter the fold through faith in him, the door of the sheep, that you'll be free from disease and free from injury and free from threats and free from temptation. That's not what he's saying in verse 9. What he's saying is if you enter the fold by faith in him, the good shepherd, he's saying that he will go before you. He will lead you in and out. He shows us the way, friends, even in the valley of the shadow of death. He helps us, even in the presence of our enemies. And as you've just heard, Jesus doesn't promise that his sheep will have an easy, trial-free life. We can testify to that today. What we're going through, it is difficult. But Jesus does promise that he will keep us secure through it all. And right now, many people are looking to someone or something else to provide them security. Some people are looking to the government to give them some sort of bailout, hoping that that extra money will provide them some sort of financial security in the midst of this pandemic. Right now, others are looking to medical professionals. They're looking for some sort of cure, some sort of vaccination, some sort of medicine that will give them some sense of security in the midst of this outbreak. And these people might be able to provide some kind of temporal physical relief. But friends, no one in the government, no one in the medical field can provide us the eternal security that our souls so desperately long for. And there's only one shepherd, friends, who can truly provide that eternal security. And the psalmist introduces us to that one shepherd who can do just that. So hold your place in hold your place in John 10. Go to Psalm 121. Go to Psalm 121 because I want to show you what the psalmist says to us. He introduces us to that one shepherd who can give us eternal security. Follow along as I read Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. And I love verse 8 in relation to everything we're studying in John 10 together. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Jesus provides security for his sheep. Lastly, Jesus provides satisfaction for his sheep. As we go back to John chapter 10 and we look at verse 9, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And David wrote about that in Psalm 23. The Lord our shepherd makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. And brothers and sisters in Christ, the pasture for you, the pasture for me today, it's the Word of God. The Lord wants you and I to desire the Word, to desire those green pastures, those still waters that He's provided for us. Why? Because God knows that this pasture that He provides for us in His Word, it will provide us eternal satisfaction, friends. Prior to this pandemic, so many Americans looked like they were happy. Like they were truly satisfied, like they were finally able to turn the corner. They got a break. They were looking up, living the dream. But now this crisis certainly has peeled back their layers. And we're starting to hear core beliefs of people come out of their hearts. We're starting to see that these people looked happy, looked like they were living the dream, but deep down, they were empty. They were wanting more. And friends, if you find yourself, as you're listening to this right now, feeling that way, I've got good news for you. You don't have to remain in that condition. The invitation is open from Jesus, verse 9. He says to you, if anyone enters by me, he or she will be saved, secure, and satisfied. And I realize you may be looking at that and saying, okay, I get that, but how do I enter this door? Well, the Apostle John repeatedly answers that same question throughout the whole gospel that he wrote. He starts in John 1:12 and says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Another favorite verse of scripture gives the answer to how you enter this door. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At the end of the book, John 20, verse 31, John said, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And so in order to enter through Jesus, friends, the door of salvation, it means you must first repent of your sins and believe then that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day he rose again. And I just want to ask you, friend, have you done that? Are you trusting in Jesus alone as your only hope for eternal life? And if you've never done that, I urge you this morning to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And I realize that that may be foreign to you. You'd like to maybe know some more. And if that's you, after we're done, please look on our Facebook page and you'll see some ways to get in touch with me. And I just ask that you just reach out to the church, and I'd be more than willing to spend more time with you explaining the gospel and helping you make this most important decision. And I'm sure that someone might be thinking right now, well, I don't really want to make this decision today. I have some time left. I want to get through this crisis, and then I want to get back to doing my life, pursuing my goals and dreams. And you know what? I may come back around and I may put my trust in Jesus at another time. And if you're thinking that way right now, friend, this very next verse that we're going to look at in the Bible, Jesus tells you directly that would be a serious mistake. Verse 10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And the thief that Jesus is talking about here is ultimately Satan. He's our adversary. He's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And he is luring in his victims by appealing to various lusts that they have. Lust for money, lust for sex, lust for drugs or fame, good looks, other things. And as people pursue their lust and feast on these things in the world, they're deceived into thinking that life really is good. They're deceived into believing that this is the dream. And they fail to realize, because Satan blinds their eyes, that they're pursuing these sinful pleasures. And as they're pursuing them, it is actually leading them to eternal destruction. Death, separation from God. Jesus, on the other hand, at the end of verse 10, he says that he came that his sheep may have life and have it abundantly. And when you and I come to the shepherd, he always leads us to what is fresh, to what is rich, to what is never exhausted, to what's very, very good for us. And each time that you and I feed upon the green pastures and drink from the still waters of the word that God has provided for us, we truly know what it means to be full and satisfied. Only Jesus, friends, can provide salvation, security, and satisfaction. He is the only door to abundant life. And that abundant life begins at the moment you believe in him. And it continues for all eternity. Everyone who has entered into a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ is now able to go out and enjoy the good and merciful fellowship with God all the days of their life. And as you just heard, in Christ, we have nothing to fear. Nothing can separate us from the love of our good shepherd. There is not an enemy out there that can eternally destroy us. In Christ, we are saved, secure, and satisfied. So loved ones, believe this truth, that our great shepherd is always good and he's always merciful to us. Even when we are confined to our homes during this pandemic. Even when our local stores are out of food and no toilet paper. Even when we don't have enough money to pay our bills, our great shepherd is still good and merciful to us. No matter what the difficulty you're facing right now, always remember and believe this. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And as you think about everything right now that's puzzling you, everything right now that's troubling in your life, be sure to know, friends, there is coming a day when you and I, we will be able to look back in all of this and we will only be able to see the goodness and the mercy of our great shepherd. So it's my prayer that God has shown you in his word this morning, from the door to abundant life, that that door begins and ends with the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is all you and I truly need. He will lead us all the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to be in the Word of God together. And thank you for providing us comfort and encouragement, peace and rest from these green pastures this morning, from these still waters. We are so grateful to have the one shepherd, the door to abundant life, the Lord Jesus Christ, overseeing us and leading us all the way through these difficulties. And I pray that we would find our hope in him, our rest in him. We're trusting in him to provide for us and to sustain us and to give to us what is good. And Lord, I pray that we can give him the glory that he and only he deserves. We love you, Father. Thank you for loving us first through Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray all this in Jesus' name.